my thoughts. This is the clip, pull trick, shoot, lift, set it. While I raise that ass like Dianetic, haven't just hit the clip of the magnetic gift. Plus I flow with the tongue swift, so ever raise the sharp flip the juggler. Now who's next in line to try to stop us? I'm like way from under the gutter, below the pit stop, smother. There's too much dirt beyond the under. Vasion, body at the end of your chapter. Rapture, watch the text fall like the actual. Buried so deep when we peek to see Alaska. So save it, the chatter, while climbing the disaster's ladder. Unravel your rubbish, your graveyard full with bludgeons. Parade with ravens, my dude stalking the bird's eye view. And when I chop it to your dead meat, for the still, still.
Rhyme wizardry with divine chemistry, Masonic prophecy. Too complex for you to copy me. Black belt, I spit acid till the track melts. Knowledge is born every time a fact's dealt. Nondescript MCs report to the altar so I can decide which one of y'all to take a heart from. I spit with an infinite dark gun. I'm serious, the microphone you niggas should part from. If you don't start none, it won't be none. Act like you know the man when it's on. I pick off targets just like soda cans. A to BK, be the masked man, super ninjas, medallion, 60-second assassin, 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 assassin,
assassin. Here he comes, walking away.
Now there goes the crew, so you know we don't fake it. They wanna bust them nuts, so them girls getting naked. Mutilating the set, single face, and it's loud. I could jump in the audience and cold kill a crowd. Sounds are heard, the bulls dancing, and I'm the reason I love this. Remain from the druggist, I get your ass quiet, open, control your substance. I get into your blood like drugs, but they shit under the rug. I be like, that chance to your bug, captain. Stop it, short, from the tactics. Relax, kid, shatter your whole breathing apparatus. Factors, you can never catch me on a test kit. Smother your thoughts like Ray, we want a test kit. Now bring it on back under the rug now. Go cuts wood style, promise the terror at your corral. Let's take the trip, travel to the mine of that next week. Go fire your mouth, I'll go technique, technique.
Mother Nature with a Molotov. Yeah. Lex Boogie from the Bronx. New clothes, production. Yeah. On my throne like macabre, precise how I lay in mine, quicksand rhyme, overstand I'm. Now with the Wago, spit Wago, like Waco, tangle with this shit, need Mako. Dream chasing, sipping tonic out of mason jars. Better know I came to raise the bar, star, sweet cinnamon, drilling them, gentlemen, more than feminine wilds. I got plentiful styles, rhyme flow heavy even on my light days. Whole sea sun rays, cleansing like sauna. Ha. Get the guava if they not on they square. Get the picture, it's clear. Like skies with no chemtrails. That whack shit is dead like roadkill entrails. Hyenas get crushed, something like a head rush. So what you crying for? Never saw your higher self before? Oh yes, it's that you're in the flesh and we never have steps. That's that. Get set on, quick let off. Cause I'm holding heat like lava. Molding, golden irrelevant. Rolling with therapists, riot starters, fire starters. Get set off, quick let off. Cause I'm holding heat like lava. Molding, golden irrelevant. Rolling with therapists, riot sparkers, fire starters. Clever with around the way girl disposition. F you, pay me. Freedom costs, listen. Keep the beef and steaks. I'd rather have a vegan plate. Indeed, I shall proceed to take control and set the record straight. More than a conscious rapper, no box, you can't trapper. Myth chatter, move like the dolphin, clan orphan. Man is caught up in the ego mind. Exchange foreign currency, I leave it all behind. Seen it like a sign of great things to come. And if two won't do, then I drop it on the one. Time for your mind frame, sharpshooter aim. Bridging the gap between left and right brain. Sane and unsane, ha, the blue flame. I'ma live forever, but this is nothing like fame.
Get set off, quick let off, cause I'm holding heat like lava. Moses, golden Aurelian, rolling with terrorists, fire starters. Get set off, quick let off, cause I'm holding heat like lava. Moses, golden Aurelian, rolling with terrorists, fire starters.
Red giant defiant, hands off Asada. Respect every soldier that was slaughtered, a martyr, held in the pen. Auction and bought it. I can hear them screaming in the track. Lex, play it back. If you're seeking a note, get in sync with the flow. Not preaching, teaching, reaching your slow. Letting it sink in a blend like Bronto. Once the spark fires, downloading this pronto.
Get set off, quick let off, cause I'm holding heat like lava. Moses, golden Aurelian, rolling with terrorists, fire starters. Get set off, quick let off, cause I'm holding heat like lava. Moses, golden Aurelian, rolling with terrorists, fire starters.
Show us the way, some winning trade. So let us pray for a better day.
All right. Peace. All right. Once again, with Dr. Alain. And tonight, we're going to have a very good show. We got my man, Natural Tahuti, going to be dropping on the Mother Goddess Principle, which is basically the Kundalini. Now, of course, you see the show is called Reiki, the Universal Life Force Energy. Now, that's the Mother Goddess Principle. So what I'm going to do is detail some of the information, and we're going to get into the discussion. All right, so when we're talking about the Kundalini, we're talking about the Mother Goddess Principle, in which that unlike man or woman who builds material with things in which that they have, in which that is from nature, she herself is nature, and from herself, she built the universe or made the universe or created the universe and everything within it, and she dwells within everything in which that she makes. In other words, everything in which that is tangible and intangible, everything in which that is visible and invisible. All right, so this is the thing in which that we have to understand. She is prana, she is chi, she is ki, she is the Holy Spirit, she is kahuna, mana, she is all of these things. All right, she's everything in which that you can possibly think of and beyond. She is the knowable and the unknowable. At the same time, this is the God principle in which that Christians, when they say, well, God exists everywhere in all times and all spaces, that's Mata Kundalini principle. That is the God in which that we're referring to. Now, of course, it has the feminine aspect to it in which that deals with the soul principle itself, because your soul actually is a droplet of that power or of that force. You know what I'm saying? And so that's basically what we're dealing with. You know, so that's what we're dealing with, you know, when we talk about that. You know, so when we get into those particular sciences, you got to understand what's really going on. And those principles is what is applied to your very soul. Like I said, your soul is feminine. And of course, we're talking about perspective here. We're not talking about as in just gender. Of course, we can see it that way. But we're talking about as far as in the aspects of the attribute of nurturing. She is a nurturing aspect, right? This is why God has the qualities of mercy, love, you know, righteousness, truth, because it symbolizes mayat on those particular with those particular attributes, you know, which is feminine, you know. These are the things which that we have to look at. So when we're talking about the universal life force energy, which is referred to as prana or chi or ki energy, we're talking about the mother Goddess principle, which is the Kundalini. You have Kundalini prana or prana Kundalini, which is the outside or external DNA. Then when she personifies within the human body, she becomes the concentration of that universal or microcosm life force in miniature form, the microcosm aspect now, which is concentrated at the base of the spine. That is the special abode, or what is known as the root or base chakra, or the sacral bone tail area. It is there which that this electromagnetic or photonic energy raises up within each and every one of us, is the upswelling of energy. If I took at 19 degrees, if I took a tetrahedron, which is a six-pointed star configuration, and overlaid it over the human body at 19 degrees south and at 19 degrees north, we would see an upswelling of energy. That is Aset, which is another form of Aset, and she awakens, because remember, the Kundalini is 3.5 times coil at the base of the spine, half asleep. So as she awakens to, in other words, it's only 10% active. The other 90% is inactive. So as she awakens to more of the 90%, in order to make that total 100%, you become strengthened aurically and through your chakra system. And that electromagnetic energy comes up in an elliptical pattern, similar to the pattern of a snake or a sign. And hence the reason why of the snake-like pattern or serpent. Hence the reason why Kundalini is called the serpentine fire. So as you just heard, the last song, one of the last songs we played was Firestarter by Sister Star. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully that song been able to fire start or jump start that kundalini. That's what that is actually symbolic to, in one aspect too. So we're going to talk about the Mother Goddess principle and also some actual application on how to activate that life force energy within you. Like we said, that's the concentration of the universal life force in you. All right, it's seven generations on your mother's side, seven generations on your father's side, concentrated. You know, those memories, that strength, those characteristics, those attributes, all of that is concentrated within you. Even your past lives, in which that is within your medulla oblongata, is a concentration, you know, of all of you. And, of course, your past lives is resides within what is called the oversoul. So all of your incarnations or reincarnations existed there. That's where your past lives are located at, as well as also the gift of photographic memory. And the Tibetan monks and others, the Buddhists and the Shaolin, they would actually tap on the area at the back of the head, right under the hollow area of the of when the spine goes up into the brain, that area specifically. And they would tap there 25 times, 3 times a day in order to scar that area so the person can begin to have what is called photographic memory, as well as also gain access to their past lives, glimpses of it, in which that will come through in visions or dreams or while a person is fantasizing or daydreaming, as they say. These occurrences take place. You get flashes actually right before your eyes. All right, so these are the things that we have to master so that we can karmically affect those past lives. In other words, some things in which that is built up from the past life, what happens is that they are still on us, you know, those causes and effects, and we carry them into this incarnation. And so we're still paying for some of the things in which that we did in the last incarnation. Well, what happens is that when the kundalini energy raises up and comes through the chakra system, what happens is that it awakens those that karma or those causes, hits the effects of those causes, and sometimes you go through pains and disappointments and depressions and certain things like that because of this energy coming up. Sometimes you get sick, you know, as it comes up through the kundalini. What it's doing is cleansing your system. It's cleansing you out, essentially, emotionally, of those baggages. And so there's a technique in which it is called cosmic kundalini, in which that you actually channel the energy down from the cosmos into you, in which that is taught by Sanyata Saraswati, my grandmaster, teacher, in which that bypasses the chakra system so that you won't get the problems in which that you are getting, you know, from raising the kundalini energy, those symptoms. If you go online and type into the Google kundalini symptoms or the symptoms of the kundalini, you will actually see migraines, headaches, spasms, muscle spasms, as they would say, nerves jumping, whooshing, or ringing in the ears, or hearing bells, or chimes, or some things of that effect. You know, these are symptoms of the kundalini raising, arising. But this is all symbolic also to the 90-degree perpendicular level of Hiram Abiff, on which that symbolizes the Black Madonna and Child, essentially. The Black Madonna is, of course, the kundalini, which is actually symbolic to melanin, that carbon, or the life force principle within each and every one of us. And that atomic power is symbolic to Jesus or to Heru, in which that raises up. So, or said, and Heru raises up together through the spinal column. Or Mary and Jesus raises up and to ascend to the Father who art in heaven so that Jesus can sit on the right-hand side. Hence the activation of the right hemisphere of the brain. So this is what is really going on. This is why it's essential in order to decode these scriptures, because they are allegorical in essence. They're allegorical, all right? And so when we're talking about it, we have to look at it from that perspective, all right? So we're going to get into a little bit more things here. We're getting ready to bring Brother Natural Tahuti on in a few minutes. And, you know, you're going to hear some good stuff. You know, right now let me continue, and we're going to get more into those particular sciences of the kundalini. Now, we know that the Kundalini symbolizes that life force energy concentrated at the base of the spine, and as it comes up, it moves from 6,000 degrees in temperature to 2 million degrees as it reaches the crown chakra in order to illuminate the crown, on which that is with a golden light or halo or helios around it, which is the word halo or helios is actually derived from the ancient Egyptian word haru or heru, which means the hero. So it's at that point when you become a hero, actually a mystic or spiritual hero or haru, all right? This is what is symbolic to when you see the pictures of Jesus Christ with that symbolic to the cross or Christ, which if you read Gerald Massey's works, in particular his books of beginnings, natural if you read Gerald Massey lectures, as well as also Ancient Egypt, the Light of the World, as well as the mystical Christ, you know, mystical Jesus and the Christ, those particular books by Gerald Massey, you will actually see him correlate that caress, the word Christ or Krishna is derived from the ancient Egyptian word caress. And that caress means the mummified body of Osiris, which is Osar, which is talking about the soul itself. And the soul itself is known as Kundalini Shiva, in which that is also inside of the pineal gland, half asleep. And the way in which that it is awoken is through the awakening of the Kundalini. And as she awakens him. So hence, he becomes resurrected, and through his resurrection, and through their divine marriage in heaven, as the Bible speaks of Christ and the church, or the bride and the bridegroom, and that divine marriage in heaven, what happens is that through that marriage is what produces that Christ force or caress or coming forth out of that cocoon, you know, which is also symbolic to, as we would say, that energy, you know, that soul life force energy coming up and out, being able to no longer be just garbed within that pineal gland, which is symbolic to the linen and symbolic to the sepulchre. But now the soul is free in order to come forth, just like Jesus then was able to materialize and dematerialize at will now. The soul is able to leave the physical body to materialize, in other words, they all incarnate into another body or be outside of the physical body and do what it needs to do from the spiritual realm. So, these are the sciences in which that the occult teachers and the esoteric schools and the metaphysical teachers and practitioners understand and understand and understand. So, we get ready to bring Brother Natural Tahuti on, and we get ready to drop it on y'all. So hold on a second. We get ready to bring him on. All right, as we wait for him to come on, we get ready to continue on with the info. And we're going to drop it on you about the Mother Goddess Principle, which correlates to the Kundalini energy, which is that universal life force energy in which that formed everything in existence. And so there's nothing in which that exists, in which that you can see, touch, taste, smell, or hear, in which that was not produced or created by via the Kundalini or the Mother Goddess Principle. As, of course, the women typify that and are the epitome of that particular energy and of that life force principle. All right, so Brother Natch Dahoudi is getting ready to drop it on y'all concerning that science. All right, we get ready to pull them on in here in a minute. All right. Peace.
Peace. What's going on with you, God?
All right, God. Be right here with you in the NY.
No question. I want to say peace to the listening audience. And at this time, my spirit is a little hurt at the moment, so I want to take have a moment of silence for our young brother, Trayvon. Okay, now that we've had the moment of silence, I want to say, first of all, let me just speak on that real quick. I was very disturbed today because I actually heard the 911 call, and I heard the gunshot, and young brother Trayvon yelling for help. And I felt at that time, you know, I'm deeply connected with the mother, and I felt like a mother. I didn't feel like a father when I heard it. I felt like a mother, like, you know, my child is being hurt, and I wanted to really lash out and do something about it, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there. But let me go straight in to the listening audience and those that have never heard me before. My name is Bubba Natural Tahuti, a.k.a. the son of Sekhmet, a.k.a. the bad boy of consciousness. And a little bit about Sekhmet real quick. Sekhmet is a sun goddess. First of all, let's understand that the term goddess is generic. I'm only going to use the term goddess for identification purposes for people who are not really comfortable with the concept. But the term goddess is very generic. I am not talking about any mythological stuff. I am talking about our actual mothers that walk the earth. Now, when you look at some of the ancient statues of her, you have to look at them in the light that that is a totem, if you understand what a totem is. You've ever seen one of those old Hollywood shows, and they was going to Africa, and they were showing the totem pole? Well, the totem pole represents a tribe. It represents an ideology. It represents a people. And so when you're looking at these statues of the goddess, I want you to understand that this is not mythology. Well, for Europeans, it's mythology. For the feminist movement, it is mythology. But for us, the original people of the planet Earth, this is not mythology. I have to reiterate that. This is our actual mothers. So when you look at the statues, understand that the statue is only a totem that represents a group of people, a group or a matri, a divine matriarchal of very powerful women. Now, when I say matriarchy, I don't only mean women, because there were plenty of men who were involved in the matriarch. I am one of the sons of the goddess. You know what I'm saying? So I look at myself and they say, well, Tahuti, if the black woman, the black African woman is God, if the Moorish woman is God, if the Nubian woman is God, whatever term you prefer, what are us men? Because, you know, what's happening is that we find ourselves here in the wilderness of North America, and as men, we are trying to assert ourselves. We're trying to reassert ourselves in a very violent civilization that is very patriarchal and man-dominated. You know, the saying goes that, you know, it's a man's world, you know, and, you know, so we really caught up in that. And as we're trying to assert ourselves in the white supremacy system, we try to emulate what the European is doing. And so, you know, we have to try to feel good about ourselves as men because, let's be honest, the white supremacy system beats down the man. But I want you to understand that the overt attack on the man is really a covert attack on the great mother's precious womb. You need to understand that it is it's an overt attack on the woman's womb. And this is what we need to understand as men. We think because we are very powerful, and men are powerful. Yes, we are. But the woman is magical. She's very magical. We have to understand that because we have this very forceful, this testosterone, and it makes us a powerful being, we have to understand that we was not bred under that kind of system. That is a system that is European in its nature. You see what I'm saying? And it's really outside of the realm of nature. You understand what I'm saying to you? Nature reflects a matriarch. What is a matriarch? Most people think that matriarchy is the opposite of patriarchy. It's not. If you look at it from the etymological standpoint, the word matriarch is an acronym. It comes from two words, matri, and it also comes from the word archi, which means, matri is Greek, that means mother, and archi means beginning. So we're not talking about a paradigm where women are ruling in the sense of the European definition of the word rule. But we are talking about everything begins with the mother. Now, when you go into the word patriarchy, patriarchy literally does mean male rule, because the word patri is a word that literally means father. But it doesn't mean the father of a child. No, that would be the word daddy. Father in the sense of rulership in a political sense, father God, head statesman, this is how the word came about. And so you have the word patriot or pata, right, which it also derives, you can take it all the way back to Kemet, to the word pata. So, you know, and when you look at Pata, you will see that Pata is actually a male representation of the Great Mother. He is the only male god with the womb around his neck. So we have to really understand these concepts is that, yes, there is the father, but the father is really the son of the mother. Now, I know that kind of doesn't make sense to you, but if you begin to do the research and understand, even in the word man, man is not the male. The man is actually the one who has the breast and the womb, because the man is the species. Man does not mean male. And then when we go into the etymological origin of the word man in the Old Norse would come from the word weir, which is W-E-R, which has its origin in the Sanskrit, which is the word vir, V-I-R, and it means were, like werewolf. And werewolf is a symbol of the moon, which was associated with the great, again, I'm using the term goddess for clarification, so that you can identify with this concept. But the reason I tell you that the word goddess is generic is because goddess denotes secondary. So even though you're here, people in the Afrocentric movement say, yeah, the black man is God and the black woman is the goddess, it still is denoting that the woman is secondary. And we have to get away from that concept because she is not secondary. She is the beginning of everything, matriarchy, mother beginning. Everything begins with the mother. Even in the old ancient scripts, in the Metaneta Genesis, where Amen says, I was alone and I created myself. There's a part in there where he says, when he began to realize himself, see, he didn't realize who he was at first, but when he began to realize himself, he said that he was Mayak, that he had came from his mother. You understand what I'm saying? So it is the mother that comes first, and even for the great god Amun, he comes from a mother. Everything comes from a mother. A lot of times people try to say, okay, Tahuli, well, that is good in a physical sense, but in the metaphysical sense, that don't make sense. You see what I'm saying? They say, well, the mother is that which is in the realm of that which is being seen, and the father is in the realm of the unseen. But I tell you literally that the father that is in the realm that is unseen comes from the mother that he derives from, and that which is unseen has breast and a womb. Now, if you go into the etymology of some of these words, like in the Hebrew, you have the word, let me see if I can pronounce it right, ruach. Ruach, I think it's R-U-A, it means breath, it means spirit. Ruach, I mean, I'm pronouncing the word right, Ruach. And if you go in Gerald Massey's books, he tells you literally that the word Ruach is a feminine word, and I've studied it, and how you know, because if you learn Hebrew, you'll learn that all of the words that end with A-H are feminine words. So the soul of a man is actually feminine. So this goes on to even say, from what I talked earlier about man being a degenerate woman, and the people were crucifying me because they say, oh, that sounds gay. Really, in all actuality, there is only one sex. We all come from one sex, and that sex is the female. Man is a female. He's a masculinized female. Because when we go into the early conceptions of birth, and if you deal with embryology, then you'll understand that everyone began as an XX chromosome. We all began as a female, and even to grow a penis, it has to develop from the genital tuber. The genital tuber, otherwise known as the clitoris, is just an elongation of the woman's clit. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is go home and look up under your legs and see that you have scar tissue. You have scar tissue, which originally was a womb. And so that's the reason why we still have these two buttons on our chest as reminders of who we come from. We all come from the mother. So man, it's still honorable for us to be the son of the mother. It's still honorable for us to be the son of God. You understand what I'm saying? So All of these things have to do is really for you to just take out the emotionalism and sit down and really hear the argument. Really sit down and be ready for some real science. You see what I'm saying? Let's get away from, you know, this thing about, well, we both came here at the same time. No, it don't work that way. If we came here at the same time, then, if the womb came through the penis, well, how the hell did he do it? It don't make sense. I've seen penises come through wombs, but I've never seen a womb come through a penis. It just don't make logical sense. And if you want to deal with logics, that don't make sense. You see what I'm saying? So then the other arguments are whether, well, the egg and the sperm, I got the seed. Well, do you really have a seed? I mean, if you look at the sperm, it looks like an egg with a tail to me. Because the nucleus of it is shaped like an egg, the same like your head is shaped like an egg, the same like your eyeballs are shaped like an egg, the same with the rotation of the planets. They move in an egg-shaped motion. The same with the electromagnetic field that is surrounding your body is an egg shape. You're in an egg shape. It's called an aura. Even sound. Sound doesn't travel in waves. It travels in a bubble. It's an egg shape. But when it crashes against the medium, then the little sperm-like waves come out. This gives you another understanding of what the sperm is. Think about a tadpole. It begins as an egg, then it's a tadpole, then it becomes a fish or a frog or whatever the case. So when we look at the sperm really is actually like a degenerate egg. You see? So, you know, it's going to take you some time to catch up with these concepts, but this is factual, it's actual, and it's science. It's science. If your philosophy, if your religion, if your history does not match natural science, then we really need to take another look at it. And just because it comes from Mother Continent Africa, just because there are Africans participating in it, don't think that that makes it correct, because there are Africans who are patriarchal. As a matter of fact, patriarchy didn't begin with Europeans. It began with Africans. You see what I'm saying? Although African women, we have an ancient past, and originally they were the only women on the planet who did not come up under patriarchy. They came up under matriarchy. It was a group of Africans like the priesthood. The priesthood was corrupt. And so this is how patriarchy got on Mother Continent Africa, not only in Africa, Europe, and also America, because it is false for us to think that we only came out of Africa. There's 12,478,118,400,000 inches on the planet. We've been on every part of it. You don't believe that? Even the name Europe comes from the goddess Europa. California comes from the goddess Kali. You see, so we were here in America, we was in Europe, we were in all of Asia, and we was in what we call the mother continent, Africa. You see what I'm saying? So we were on every part of the planet, and we were a matriarchal people. So the brother say to me, well, how so is that? Brother, because if you understand spirituality versus religion, spirituality is the reflection of nature. You are born with spirituality. That's why it is a natural thing that you're born from your mother, because spirituality is the motion of nature. It is the motion of life. It is life in its many forces, in its many diversities. You see what I'm saying? It is cosmogony. We have a cosmogony. Europeans have a dichotomy. And this is how we know that nature is the natural form of spirituality. So when you're looking at original indigenous peoples, no matter where their geological locations are, they are imitating what they learned from animals, birds, bees, trees, nature, the forces of nature, and all of those things. And when they began to realize those things, they began to understand that they were those things. Like, you know, we're just like stars and covered in skin. You see what I'm saying to you? And so this is why nature reflects matriarchy. I challenge anyone to show me a king bee. I challenge anyone to show me a king ant. You can't do it. There's no such thing. Even the hyena, the queen, is the matriarch. Matter of fact, she has a clitoris that's bigger than his penis. You would think that when you look at the clitoris of the female matriarch hyena, you would think it's a penis. bigger than his penis. So this should give you some understanding about life. When you deal with the elephants, they all follow the leader of the pack. You know who the leader of the pack is? The matriarch, the oldest female lion. I mean, the oldest female elephant. And when she passes away, it goes to the next oldest one. And this is the way life is. So although we are being brutalized, although we are being beaten down, we have to understand that we were not bred under this kind of system. We were bred under a matriarchal system. We always gave the mother reverence. She was always the first divine principle. Because of our loyalty to our mother, she crowned us the king. Even during hunter and gathering civilizations where men would go out to hunt, that man would give his life for that woman. And so when she realized that he would give his life for the woman, she crowned him. She loved him, and she crowned him. And they had a divine balance. I'm not talking about women over men. This is not what this paradigm is about. It's about the divine balance of things in life. You see, and then when the God was just talking about the Kundalini, well, it's a fact. We cannot even redeem ourselves as men except through the womb of the woman. It is through the womb of the woman that us as men have to redeem ourselves. Because I've heard a lot of the yogis talk about, well, you can meditate and you can do pranayama. But pranayama, the best that pranayama can do, and I'm not saying that this is not part of it. It is a part of it, but it is not the total system. Pranayama supplements the energies coming from the spine. It supplements the Kundalini energy. The Kundalini is the goddess herself. You see what I'm saying to you? And the only way to resurrect that goddess in you is through the womb of a woman. It is through ecstatic ecstasy. And that ecstatic ecstasy is through that womb of the woman. She is the fanner of the fire at the base of the spine. And when you go to all religion is based upon the fanning of the fire. When the Muslims say, La ilaha illallah, there's no God but Allah. When they say, you must pray five times a day, well, al-salat is wrongly translated. It doesn't mean come to prayer. It means to raise the fire. You understand what I'm saying to you? Right, the raka. It means that raise that fire. The fire is at the base of the spine. What is that fire? That is the mother principle. How say so? Well, the fire principle is the sun god, and that's the male. Well, the goddess Sekhmet, she is so old, she's so old, they don't even know when she came about. She is a sun goddess. You never knew that because you always thought that the sun was associated with the male. But when the woman is ministrating, that is the fire. That is the fire principle right there through her ministration. You see what I'm saying? So she is not the inactive principle. You think because the woman has the negative principle that's inactive. No, she is very active. Think about alkaline. Think about the alkaline charge. In order to have an alkaline charge, you got to do what? You have to have a negative ion. So that negative ion is what alkalines your water. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we got to get out of these concepts of thinking that the woman is just passive and soft and all of that. No, she's not to be equated with a man in the sense of testosterone, although there are, matter of fact, and as racist as this white boy is, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he admitted that women were physically stronger than men. They're just not being trained in that manner. They're just not being trained in that manner. But, I mean, let's think about it. The woman, even in terms of longevity, the oldest people on the planet are women. The oldest people on the planet are women. So this is a concept that we must get back in tune with because it's a call for you to get back to nature. It's a call for you to get back to the ancestors. And in order to do that, we got to humble ourselves. War and killing and all of it, that's very European, although we participated in it. And I believe that the fall of man literally has to do because we got away from the mother. When we got away from the mother and when us men thought that we could do it better than the mother, we can do it without her because we were strong, we were powerful. When we thought like that, this is the reason why all original nations around the planet have fallen and they are cursed. Now, this is not spooky. This is not spooky. But you need to think about this. Are you mean to tell me that the teenager, Ninja Mutant Turtle, from the caves of the Caucasus Mountain was that sophisticated, was that of a brute to be able to take down and conquer every civilization on the planet? Every original people on the planet has fallen. How the hell did they all fall? We've had civilizations everywhere on the planet. I mean, everywhere. There's 196,940,000 square miles on the planet. And we didn't get every square mile of it. So in every square mile of it, how did every kingdom and queendom fall by the wayside? Was it through, was the European guy? I mean, listen, here's a guy coming from out of the caves of Europe with no shoes on his feet. He didn't even build a house for himself. There's not one pyramid that he participated in building. So no mound, no, even the mounds that were built, the mound builders, the mound is a representation of the womb because it's a tomb. That's why the word womb and tomb, they rhyme with each other, because it is the tomb is a symbol of the great mother's womb. From the darkness of the mother's womb you came out of, from the darkness of the tomb you shall return. So it's a, you know, it's a stargate. So we go in, we come out, we go in, we come out, you know. So this is the thing that we have to realize. So if what Brother Natural Tahuti, the son of Sekhmet, is saying to you begins to resonate and you begin to feel that little tingle inside of you, that's your ancestors. You were meant to hear this message because we are the returned gods and goddesses. They haven't gone anywhere. And guess what? You have a responsibility. You signed the contract, whether you know it or not. You chose the parents that you got. You chose to reincarnate at this particular time. Why did you choose to reincarnate in this particular time? There's one reason you chose to be here. Number one, to dismantle the white supremacy system. Number two, which is really number one, is to help put the great mother back on the throne. That is the reason you are here. There was no other reason. Your reason is not here just for you to get a Mercedes-Benz. Not to say not to have one is not a nice thing, right, because it's very convenient, it's luxurious, but that's not the reason you're here. To make a lot of money, that's not the reason you're here, because guess what? They can stop making money anytime they want to. They just showed you that in the past few years. How many different new forms of money they just made? And they cancel out the last one. So they can easily take the money away from the civilization. So it's not about the money. They say money, power, and respect. But they don't respect you whether you got money or not. They still don't damn respect you. And Puffy and Combs and all of them got money, but do they respect them? Hell no, they don't respect them. They make them have ritualistic sex with one another. They make them dress up in dresses on stage in front of the world to soften our boys up. I mean, they don't respect them, so it's not money that's going to give you the respect. The only thing in this world that is going to give you that respect is when we begin to put our mothers back on the throne, we are going to have international respect. International respect, because the morals are correct. It is about nationality. Now, we can argue whether or not it's about, okay, I'm a Moor, or I'm a Nubian, or I'm a nigger, or I'm a Negro, or I'm a black. We can argue those things, because that's just generic. But nationality is not generic. Prove that shit, Natural Tahuti. The word nationality comes from the French word nation, which comes from the word NATO, which comes from the Greek word genus. It all means birth. So your nationality means that it's your birthright. You come from the mother that you come from. That is your birthright. You have nationality. It is your birthright. It is a part of your spirituality. Your nationality and your spirituality is one and the same. So the Moors are correct about nationality. Now, yes, it took me some time to get here, but guess what? I get the point now. I really do get the point. People are not damn crayons. We people on the international stage do not identify themselves as black or white. They don't do that. Not to say that there's anything wrong with the color black, because all of the the ancient deities were colored in that blackness. It is divine. I'm not going to say that it is wicked, but in the operating principles of law as it is set up through these European courts, this is the trickery, and this is how, you know, they set us behind with one another. So these are some of the things that we need to begin to start taking a look at and to start incorporating these things into the argument. Like I said, you don't have to call yourself a Moor, because I think that we have a lot of different nationalities, because Africans pretty much see themselves the same way Europeans see themselves. You got Germans, you got Greeks, you got Irish, and they pretty much look at themselves the same way. That's why when they came over in Africa, it was pretty much harder to deal with, because Africans were into this tribalism thing, and one had a wider nose, the other one had a sharper nose, and they would fight over these little differences. You know what I'm saying? So they looked at each other as these different tribesmen. So there wasn't really no cosmogony for the whole of Mother Africa. But in the more ancient of civilization, they did believe in the brotherhood of man and woman. They believed in that concept, and that's why you can find all over the planet Earth, you find a cohesiveness, even in the religions, because the religions are just a remake of the wisdom ways of our ancestors. Let me give you an understanding. The Muslims say, La ilaha illallah, there's no God but Allah. The Christians say, the kingdom of heaven is within. The Hindu, which is 35,000 or 100 gods, has one primary god named Atman that lives in the heart, and they seek Atman. The Native American says the great spirit speaks to us from within. The Buddha says the great mind speaks to us from within. Do you see the cohesiveness of every one of these ways? Take away the dogma. Take away the dogma, and then you will understand that all of these sciences came from us. They all came from us. But we need to throw away some of the titles and just get right back to the spirituality. And so claiming the mother and putting that mother first does not make you less of a man. It makes you a greater man. It makes you, and I'm going to use some hood terms, it makes you a goddamn sucker to try to make yourself better than the woman. That's really gay. I hear these terms out here, niggas talking about M.O.B., money over bitches. Is that not gay? I just heard, let me tell you what I heard on the rap record. Y'all not listening.
Oh, yeah, that's some gay shit.
Yo, I heard, what's his name? Rick Ross said, loyalty to my nigga, never trust those hoes. Always pay your taxes, but never pay these hoes.
Yo, pay the white man who is suppressing you on your own land. Pay him, but don't pay the woman who actually supposed to help raise you up. Interesting concept.
Wow,
man. I like some faggot shit to me.
That is some faggot shit if I ever heard it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Anybody that thinks that money is more important than women is a goddamn faggot. Come on, let's be honest, man.
Yeah, let's be honest. That's the way I see it.
You know, and so when we go back and we look at even Noble Drew Ali, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the father Clarence Smith, Dolce Next, Marcus Garvey, all of them, in my opinion, knew about the Great Mother. I think that there was a process in our beginning. Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, man, 75% of the work was done with the woman. He said, if there was no God, the only one that would be worthy of worship is the woman. He said that Allah created himself from phases of triple darkness, and that he created himself from the female portion of the universe. Noble Drew Ali carries a woman in his arms, and on her body says the words, humanity. And then in the 101s, he says, what was the purpose of the Moor Science Temple of America coming to America? For the uplifting of fallen humanity. So it means that when the unconscious woman becomes conscious, humanity will be saved. Because she is humanity. Don't you get that? Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you teach a man, you only teach an individual. If you teach a woman, you teach a nation. Don't you understand? So don't fight with your brother Tahuti, man. Even if you do, I don't give a damn. Because guess what? I'm going to stand on this like solid on a rock. And I don't care if I stand alone. I'm not in a popularity contest. And that's why I can stand alone and take all the abuse and the punishment of the people coming at my head.
And weren't you a 5%er? And you here in the hub of the 5% in Harlem. You live in Harlem. And if you've gone this long without anyone trying to say anything or trying to attempt to denounce that you are right, you know what I'm saying, from what woke me up, you know what I'm saying? I was 14 when I got woke up through the 5%. Or the Nation of Gods and Nerds. You know what I'm saying? You got woke up through them. So, I mean, this is just fact. You know what I'm saying? And they haven't been able to denounce anything that you have stated so far in any of the lectures that I've seen, or even in the commentaries on 125th Street in front of the camera with Brother Sarnetta. You know, so what you think about that?
I think people are just afraid to be themselves, man. You know, if you think about the Father, and I love the Nation of Gods and Earth. That was my ideological foundation. I'm not warring against those brothers. I think they're just not needed. They're scared of their own sons because they're not being allowed to be themselves. They are afraid that if they say something that is not within the paradigms of the 120 lessons, that their peers, who they feel loyalty to, because I was trapped in that, I have to be loyal to the gods, you know what I'm saying? They feel that they want to be ostracized. But there has to come a time in your life where you have to become a man. You know, in the Bible, it tells you when you was a boy, you did what? You played with them. And when you become an adult, you have to... You put away childish things, man. You know what I'm talking about, people. And so you... If the Father, Clarence Smith 13X, was not an independent thinker, there would be no Nation of Gods and Earths. He would still be a Muslim in the Nation of Islam. So that's one of the things that you have to understand. So again, I need to reiterate, I'm not warring against the Nation of Gods and Earths. I'm not warring against the Nation of Islam. I am just setting a precedent. I am showing my independence. I am showing that this mind is a terrible thing to waste. And if you lock yourself into just one way of thinking, you're not allowing yourself to grow and evolve. And if you say you are a revolutionary, then you have to understand in the word revolution is evolution.
And speaking of that, when you think about, you know, Carthaginian, and I know that you've gone over that before, and there's several books in which that verifies what you're saying. I mean, scientifically, based on the occult teaching, you know, let's get into some of that, you know, as far as the information that you have found.
Okay.
You know, and that way they have to go and do their own research. That way there won't be a debate with Brother Nasser Tahuti. They have to debate the information coming from the books.
Well, people say parthenogenesis is fallacy. Well, first of all, let's just take it from a basic point of view. It happens amongst animals. Then the argument becomes, well, Tahuti, we're not animals. We're better than animals. When did we become better than animals? First of all, number one, the animal shits, you shit. Animal eats, you eat. The animal has sex, you have sex. The animal gets tired, you get tired, and guess what? If you kick a dog in his ass, he'll feel it. So you got feelings, the dog got feelings. And guess what? The dog understands you more than you understand the dog. As a matter of fact, when was the last time you understood the conversation between dogs? But goddammit, I can show you plenty of instances where the dog understood your conversation. Because you say, sit your ass down, the dog go over there and sit down. Go get me the newspaper, the dog go get the newspaper. Jump through this hoop, the dog jump through the hoop. But when was the last time you understand when the dog said, rah, rah, did you understand what the damn dog was saying? So what makes you better than the dog? Oh, dogs, animals don't have souls. Who says you? Who says so? Where do you get these idiotic ideologies from? The dog has a damn soul. It wouldn't be alive. All the soul is the seed of consciousness. And what is consciousness? Consciousness is that all. That is the permeating reality that is behind all reality. You see what I'm saying? If there was no consciousness, then nothing would be animated. The dog would not even exist if it had no consciousness. It does have a consciousness. The problem is we don't understand its level of consciousness.
And if I'm not mistaken, once again, that principle that you're referring to is the Kundalini, which is the Mother Goddess principle. So she exists within her own creation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. See, we're on the same page. But getting back to this, so it occurs in, parthenogenesis occurs in animals. So let's talk about the woman. The woman has these strange vestigial organs called the opopheron and the ovarium, which are similar to the seminiferous tubules found in the testicles of man. These tubules found that are similar to man's testicles have been known to produce living spermatozoa. The fact that the woman has these strange vestigial organs that are similar to the seminiferous tubules found in man's testicles speaks infallibly of an ancient past. The other thing is they say, well, Tahuti, if there's no semen, how can the egg hatch? Or here's the other argument. It takes 23 chromosomes from the man and 23 chromosomes from the woman. He is correct. Man does pass off 23 chromosomes, but he passes off what is called nuclear DNA, which is the last-minute details, and that's why the child can come out looking like the father. But those are last-minute details, phenotypic features, the things like that. The woman has passing off what is the ancient information, which is the mitochondrial DNA, which goes back to the very origin of the creation. When the creation was created, mitochondrial DNA has the information from the very creation of things. So that's how far back that goes, and only she can pass it from mother to egg now. So that does not explain how the man has 23 chromosomes and the woman has 23 chromosomes. Where is she going to get the extra 23 chromosomes? Well, shit, that's simple. The woman has a polar body. Her egg has a polar body. The polar body has 23 chromosomes. Her egg has 23 chromosomes. All it takes is alkalinity of the blood in the egg to rub up against the polar body, and that is enough spark and friction for her to have a daughter. Now, there came a time when degeneration set in because all human, animal, aquatic, anything that is living on Earth will degenerate. Because we're living on the outside of the planet. We don't live on the inside of the planet, which would preserve us more. We are vulnerable to the planetary influences. We are vulnerable to the atmospheric pressure. A damn virus, a microscopic virus can kill you. That's how vulnerable you are. Yeah, we are gods and goddesses, but guess what? There's a tree called the sequoia. The redwood, it lives 2,500 years. You can barely make it to 60 goddamn years. Talking about how big and bad you are. The damn turtle can live damn near 300 years in its life cycle. So this is why I say humble yourself and do some knowledge, get the science. So, therefore, I'm just showing you parthenogenesis still happens right to this day. The doctors don't talk about it. They are having children right now. You know what an ovarian cyst is? An ovarian cyst is a woman that got pregnant parthenogenically. However, women are degenerated these days, and so the babies come out malformed. And sometimes they don't allow these so-called tumors to grow to full term. But there are cases, and I got photographs of whole skulls, vertebrae, umbilical cords, legs, feet. Can you explain that? Not only do they happen in women, check this out. It can happen in men, too. So tell me, Coyote, oh, that's some homo shit. No, it's just a scientific observation. Even when I talked about men having breast milk, I wasn't promoting breast milk. I was just being condescending at the time. I just wanted to fuck with your ego because you think it's all about the man, and it's not. Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught me that the more wisdom a man obtains, the humbler he becomes. So I just did that just to mess with your ego, but it was a scientific fact. If you would have went and did the learned and studied it, you would see that it does occur. Not that we are promoting that men should go out and breastfeed. No, I only showed it to you just to show you that the origin of life is the mother. Your human body was made inside of a female's body. So all of the material of the mother that put this, that covered the spirit, came from a female's flesh, not a man's flesh, a female's flesh. So your body is covered in the flesh of a woman. Therefore, only woman exists. Only, you understand? So, you know, these concepts may be a little bit hard for you to understand at the time. But I guarantee you, if you are a seeker of truth and you are sincere in your heart, the great mother will lead you to these truths. She led it to me. I was once, I'm telling you, I was one of the biggest male chauvinistic pigs. And because I started learning this stuff, man, it changed my life. It really changed my life, man. It was a spiritual awakening for me. And I'm just so grateful about the whole goddamn thing. There's a lot of gratitude in my attitude today. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I know as we are trying to assert ourselves, you know, you got some crazy-ass black women, but you got some crazy-ass black men, too. Come on, let's be honest. We are all out of our minds. We're trying to find out what our nationalities are. We're trying to find our real spirituality. We're trying to assert ourselves as men. We're trying to assert ourselves as women. We are unbalanced. We are sick. That's what you have to realize. So stop fighting me. Don't fight me. Don't fight my brother Aileen Bay. Don't fight none of us. We need to sit down. Get rid of the ego, because you know what the ego, now the ego has a purpose, but most times when we're in ego, we are easing God out. We are easing God out. When you are living in the God principle, when you're living in the Christ principle, when you're living in the principle of the Great Mother, it is in your conscious mind, which is your heart, your heart chakra. And this is where real spirituality begins. And in order to do that, you got to humble yourself, man. No light and no knowledge and wisdom will come to you if you continue with this arrogance, if you continue with this beating on your chest gorilla concept. You got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself, and you got to bow before the Great Mother. You got to give reverence to the womb. It's just like when you see those kung fu movies. They bow before the master. Before the master starts giving them, because that's giving reverence. That means that you respect the knowledge and the wisdom. It's not that you're bowing to the human being. You are bowing to the spiritual principles of God that is within the master. Because the master don't want you to bow to him or her for the purposes of self-aggrandizement. No, they are telling you to bow down to the God principle. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I hope that some of the things that I said tonight have touched a few hearts, have awoken a few people. You know, I humbly and sincerely am dedicated to this. And the moment that it started happening for me, I don't find any other thing in my life at this particular moment worthy of giving my all of attention. And this is why I have steadily stayed on the path. I want you to ask yourself a question. It is more popular and it is more rewarding for me to be down with the Patriarch, with the Brotherhood, with the Boys Club. I would get, you know, I would probably be going further in my lectures if I was down with the Boys Club. Why would I take the unpopular position of reverencing the mother, of saying all of these things about the woman where I'm being crucified, I'm being ridiculed, my name, my, you know, they say nasty things about me. Why would I take that position and never stop? You got to ask yourself why. You think I'm trying to do this to get money? I've done about 10 lectures, and I got paid for about 3 of them, and even the money I got paid for them, I spent my money to get to those places. I'm getting ready to go down to Philly right now. You know how much money I just spent buying a new computer? I just bought the MacBook Pro. It cost me $1,300 plus an extra $100 to get to give to the white folks to teach me how to use it. You think how much money you think I'm going to make at the lecture? I did this because I want to bring quality to my people. I take my own money and go do this. It ain't about the money with me. It's because I love what I'm doing. I'm dedicated to the mother. When I tell you I'm the son of sex, man, that is my spirituality, man. I don't play with this, man. I truly worship the God. I truly worship the God. And I'm telling you, man, my life has been, I've been blessed. I don't like to say the word blessed. It means be less. I'm blessed today because today I'm beginning to process things in a whole nother light. I'm beginning to process things in a whole nother light because when you take this position, you start humbling yourself. And that is the only way to the Kundalini. The only way to that Kundalini, you got to submerge the ego. That's why when you see the goddess, the god Shiva in the fire, he's dancing a ring of fire. And under his foot, there is someone. That someone is his own ego. You have to subdue the ego. All of the avatars that came on the planet, the Buddhas, there were 14. They don't tell you all the incarnations, but it was over 14 incarnations of the Buddha. But do you know what Buddha really is? And Buddha and Tahuti are the same. These were incarnations of Tahuti. Tahuti and Buddha are the same two people. Okay. And the reason what Buddha really means, when they talk about Buddha means enlightenment, you know what the enlightenment means? It means to subdue the masculine. That's what it is. When it tells you to in order to raise that Kundalini, you got to subdue the masculine. You can't raise it up without subduing the masculine. You can't praise the goddess if you all this testosterone because you're not going to be able to see her in your arrogance. You're going to be blind to it. Have you ever heard of people bursting into a ring of fire? Yeah, this is real. This is not spookism. It's real. And you have to understand that we come from a very powerful ancient matriarch. These women were magical. We are powerful as men, yes, but the woman is magical, you see? And she taught us. The woman taught us her magic. And so you see Buddha and you see all of these Krishna and all of these avatars, whether they physically existed or not, they represent a totem. That totem means that under that ideological principle, each and every man can actualize that particular concept in his life, and you become Tahuti, walking the earth. So don't say that they didn't walk. They did walk the goddamn earth. First and foremost, art imitates life. Don't you see that all of the gods and goddesses are imitations of men and women? So they did walk the earth. Now, yes, they do represent ideological principles, esoteric principles. Yeah, they represent all of that. But it means that you are them. And all you have to do is actualize the principle, and that's who you become. Not even that you become. You already are it. It's just an unfolding. And that's why the lotus is one of the symbols, because the lotus comes up out of the mud. And as it unfolds, it is one of the most beautifulest plants in the world. And that's the same as the soul coming up out of the mud. And it unfolds. And the radiant goddess lives there. And so, yes, you are God. We are God. You understand? We just have to understand, as a man, I am the son of God. It's not dishonorable for me to be that. It's very arrogant for you not to. How can the mother, first of all, we all come from women. How is that the mother of civilization becomes the servant of her offspring? That shit just don't make sense. It's slavery. That's a slave system. And so we need to get away from that. And so we have over 1,000-year curse here going on. This is a real curse. We have been cursed. And that's the reason why all original nations around the world have fallen down. And we haven't risen up yet. We haven't risen up yet. And you call the white man the devil, and you call him all of this, but guess what? He's using your shit against you. He's using your shit against you, but he can't actualize it the way you can. So he uses a portion of it through physical magic. He uses it. You know what I mean? He uses your magic through physical magic, and your magic turns on you. It's like the snake biting its own head off. You see, so he gets you to use your own magic against yourself. He has no power over you. The only power he has over you is the trick knowledge, the spell that he can put you in. But the magic is you. You are the magic. It's not that white folks are using magic. No, they are making you use your magic against yourself. And that's the problem. You don't realize who you are. You don't realize the magic. You don't realize that your mothers are divine and they were some very powerful beings. You don't realize that. This stuff is hidden in the Bible. You say, well, the Bible is all stripped up. That may very well be, but I guarantee you what. I guarantee you, if you go through that book, you'll find the truth in there. They have hidden the goddess in the Bible. They have hidden your divine mothers in that Bible. Where do you think they got the Old Testament from? They took it from the Sibyls, the prophetess. So, you know, again, I'm saying a lot of concepts and a lot of things, and, you know, I hope the listening audience has enjoyed what I talked about, and I hope that I've touched somebody's heart today. I hope that some man out there will begin to treat his woman better. I hope that some woman out there will begin to, number one, treat herself better and treat her man better. We do need each other. I'm not separating us. Black brother, original man, you are powerful. The reason why the old bird attack is on you, because you are the first line of defense. You are the first line of defense. And they understand, if I can beat you down, I have access to the Stargate. Go back and watch that movie Stargate. They're telling you, if I can beat down the first line of defense, I got access to the Stargate. And anything that come out of that Stargate, I'm going to manufacture as a slave. This is the God-honest truth, man. This is powerful. I have nothing to gain. You think I want P-U-S-S-Y? Man, I never had that kind of problem. I'm a handsome brother. I know how to talk. Women like me. Stop it already. Stop it. But they bring up these arguments because they don't have nothing to fight against this truth that we're talking about.
No doubt, no doubt. We got a question coming from area code 314. Area code 314, you on the line.
How you doing, brother? Good to speak to you.
You're doing good, you're doing good. You got a question for my man, Brother Natural Tahuti?
Yes, actually I have a question for both of you. It's partially related to your topic tonight. Basically, it's regarding the kundalini energy and astral projection. From time to time, I have experiences where I astral project, but I noticed that basically, you know, it has the different levels. You have the low, the mid, and the higher levels that you can go to. A problem that I've been encountering is that sometimes when I go to the higher level and I'm coming back down, and I become basically more so conscious about or aware when I'm in the mid levels. And one thing that I face, or a couple of things that I face, is basically, it might sound a little crazy, but helicopters, and I guess you would say extraterrestrials, or beings that stay in a non-physical realm on Earth. Basically, the problems I've been having is like in these astral projections, it's like I run into these helicopters. I know they're representations of what's going on in the real world, but they're giving off some type of energy signature through my astral body that affect how I think and how I feel. And I've had this problem once or twice before. And that's all I've had occurrences where, like, these extraterrestrials, I'm astral projecting, and I'm coming back down to the mid-levels, and they somehow trap my astral body into, like, this type of, I guess you could say, metaphysical machine. And it's like they're entering some type of program into my energy body so I can manifest whatever they're inputting into me when I wake up in my physical body. I wanted to know, how can I use my mind and how can I use my kundalini energy to protect myself when I'm transferring from the higher realms through these middle realms where I'm open to these attacks?
Do you want to answer that, Brother Alim, or?
Yeah. Well, number one, when you leave outside your body, you have to learn how to garb yourself with white or either gold light. That way they act as a form of protection. The gold light is good in order for protection and healing, and the resonation of it actually keeps away negative entities, and white light repels negative entities. So you will have to garb yourself like that. So as you come out of your body, you have to visualize yourself in white light, you know, or the gold light, and that's the way in which that you protect yourself when you're on the astral plane. If you're not doing that, then, yeah, you might become susceptible to those types of things, you know, because you're talking about being open to those type of beings, you know, especially in the first and second overtone level of the astral plane. Also, you will want to resonate at a higher
Only the soul travels as an astral projection. All right? Soul travel happens from the top of the crown of the head, as compared to astral projection, which only happens from the solar plexus.
Mm.
Okay? So you will want to learn how to soul travel. So start looking up, go to Google and start looking up the signs of soul travel and learn how to soul travel instead. And that way you won't have to worry about those lower entities messing with you, because you'll be above anything which that they will try to come with when you soul travel. In soul travel, you go into all seven multi-dimensions, or what is known as the seven planes of existence, from the physical to the ethereal, astral, which is the emotional, the mental, the causal, the spiritual, and the soul. All right, you can go to all seven of those planes of existence and more as a soul traveler. However, you're stuck on the astral plane as an astral traveler or astral projector. So you want to go outside of just one plane of existence. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, and I guess thank you. And also, I'm gonna put that to use, but I guess to say, like, I know, also know one of the reasons I'm like, I guess I transfer to those middle realms or those lower realms. It's like I just know for like my intuition that I'm supposed to help be like a guardian or a protector or, you know, something of that nature. So that's like, I understand everything that you're saying. I'm going to definitely put that to use so I can go and learn from the higher realms. But, like, also part of what I'm supposed to do is basically I'm supposed to help clean up the lower and the middle realms. You know, that's, like, part of the reason that I'm here. That's also, like, part of the reason why I'm drawn to those areas. But it's just, like, I'm used that gold light and the white light, you know, but it's just, like, it's also I'm going to have to go there because, you know, it's part of what I'm here to do, to help clean up those realms.
But still you have to protect yourself in the process, and that's just one of the ways in order to do it. You know, and you can still clean up the realm as being a soul traveler, not as an astral traveler, so that if you need to, you can go into the higher realms and leave those entities over that is stuck to that realm in their stuckness or in their bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, when you leave the physical body, you're still dealing with the same nonsense, you know, in which that was perpetrated even here on the physical plane. You know what I'm saying? So you still have the same jealousy, envy, hatred, same type of people exist or beings exist on the astral plane as they do on this physical plane, because they just because they one level up from this plane. So, I mean, there is no difference. So you want to be able to protect yourself when you astral travel. You know, like I said, if you go into the higher realms, you won't even have to worry about that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it might be your job in order to clean up the lower realm, you know, or the mid realm. And you can still do that as being being of higher light and a higher expression. All right?
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
it. All right. Peace out.
Peace. Yeah, that was powerful, man. Yeah. I got to take a look at that. I know when I used to do the practice called SOL, me and a brother from a Gnostic, we were sitting there. He was a Gnostic. He was a Dominican brother. And me and him was doing some meditation. And we used to do a practice called SOL. It means subject, object, and location. And the more you were conscious of the subject you were dealing with, the object, and your location in your waking realm, the more you would be conscious in that astral realm. And so when you got to the astral realm, also you have a sword. You have a lightning sword, and you have to consciously, while you're in your waking realm, you have to consciously draw it in your mind. So when you get to that realm, you can easily access it. And there are different classrooms you can go to. You can fly. You can go to any classroom from any particular time period, because in the astral realm, in those other realms, there's no right space-time continuum. So if you're conscious in your waking realm, say you're only conscious maybe an hour in your real wake room. When you're in there, well, most people are not even that conscious in the wake room. Maybe a minute or two of the day, you're really conscious. And the rest of the day, you're just walking around sleepwalking. Well, when you're dreaming and you're in those rooms there, it seems like it's hours or days that you're in that room, but it only may be a second or two. You see, but the more you become conscious of this realm, the more you become conscious in that realm, the more work you can do. And so what we would do is also when we would meditate, when we slowly came out of our meditation, we would pull on our index finger, and we would imagine that it was being pulled long, because in your astral realm, it's a body that is made up of mist. And so when you pull it, you can shape the astral body into anything you want. You can actually, what is that they call, shapeshift. You can shapeshift in that room. You can do a lot of different things in that room. But that was powerful, because I think the buff knows a lot more about that than me. So definitely, though. But I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with it. So, because in my early training many years ago, I was dealing with a lot of those concepts. A lot of people think I'm one-dimensional, but I'm really not. So, I mean, is there anybody out there that would like to question?
They have a question in the chat room, and it says, "I'll be trapped here on this earth, hell, or time." Somebody was asking, "I'll be trapped here." I would say my spell on it, no, you aren't. That's why I was just talking about soul travel, which that you are able to go to all of the astral planes or the various planes of existence or dimensions or density levels or realms. That means planetary realms also, of course, planet or cosmic zones in which that, like, for example, Venus is a fourth dimensional state, Pluto is a fifth dimensional state, and so each planet symbolizes a particular state of existence. So you as a being who mastered that portion of yourself can actually travel to those various cosmic zones. All right, so no, you're not trapped. This is called hell. You know what I'm saying? And hell is actually a Greek word in which that symbolizes the afterlife. So when you talk about hell, you actually are talking about the afterlife. You know what I'm saying? And it could be the life in which that you came from to earth, which this is the afterlife. I mean, why else would you taught as a child in kindergarten? Life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merry, merrily, merrily, life is but a dream. You know what I'm saying? So this is the dream world here, condensed. But you can actually take all the material, astral material from the dream, from the other dream worlds, and actually condense it here in order to transform this world into the reality in which that you want, being that it is an apparent illusion. All right? So you can make this a reality. You can make this into what you want it to be, but it's talking about the mastering of these astral existences or these astral energies, which is the Kundalini itself. The Kundalini is what makes all these various worlds and conditions. Like we say, she created creation from out of herself. She became the sun. She became the moon. She became the stars. She became the planet Earth. She became the earthlings on Earth. She became all of these. All right, she resonates from your head to your toe. All right, your very existence is Kundalini. However, her special bone within you is the sacral bone area, which is called the base of the or the spine, at the base of the root chakra. All right, so she is you. So when we're talking about the Mother Goddess principle, we talk about it from that aspect. Don't get the genders twisted, because right. That's how brothers. Like the role, because they are so subconscious and so insecure about their masculinity. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you might have been molested or whatever the case may be back in the days or whatever, but that's something that you have to handle on your own through your psychological conditioning and helping, from getting out of those particular states. You can't disrespect or hate the woman because of something in which that happened to you. You know what I'm saying? Or the women hate the men.
Right.
Because that's still all Willie Lynch. Thing in which that in a religion tells you that they was going to freeze the woman and the mother was going to effeminize the male child and then make the female child independent of the male. So this is all part of that same nonsense. The only way that we can break out of it is by doing what Natural Tahuti was just talking about. You know what I'm saying? And have to tell the truth of the matter. These are facts that we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You can get the books by Secrets of Regeneration by Hilton Otima. That's one.
Great place to start at.
Right? Matter of fact, you can get all of his books. Hilton Otima, H-I-T-O-N, H-I-L-T-O-N, Hilton Otima, H-O-T-E-M-A. All right? So you can get all of his books. In particular, that Secret of Regeneration, which that goes into the parthenogenesis and all that information.
And there was a debate that he had. He had a debate with one eminent doctor, prominent doctor, Shelton.
He had
a debate with Shelton. He was a homopathologist and all of that, and he debated him over the subject of parthenogenesis. And the name of the book is called Virgin Birth. Get that book. That's the debate right there. And Hilton whole team have smashed it. He won a debate over the doctor. So get that book, and that'll talk about, you know, the degenerated man. And, you know, woman is also degenerated, but she is more closer to nature than you are, because she's still more in her original form. You understand what I'm saying? We have transformed into the sun. You see what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing, but
it was a necessity, out of what was going on with the formation of this planet and the dichotomy and the parallels and what appears to be opposite. It's an apparent opposite. It's not. It's complementary. We complement each other.
Right.
So, I mean, this has to take place because we are in what appears to be a duality.
Right. That's the divine paradox. That's what it is. Because we're multi-dimensional beings. So, I mean, come on. It's got to make sense. I mean, does a hermaphrodite make sense to you? So, come on. If there is the existence of hermaphrodites, then it shows you that we come from an ancient past, and it all began in the feminine principle.
No doubt. If I'm not mistaken, all of us were feminine for 3 to 6 months inside of the womb until the woman was able to produce enough testosterone in order to transform that embryo into a masculine seed.
Right.
You know, so this is what Natsutori was talking about, is that we got that little sewn up area up underneath from the top of the shaft of the penis all the way down to the anus area. That
right.
was the opening. Actually, the perineum was the opening.
Right.
You know, and you can still feel that. You can still feel that indenture to this very day, brother. If you don't believe me, just go right up on your nut sack and in between your anus area and feel the indenture. That was your vaginal canal, nigga.
If you're having sex, a woman can put her finger in that and make you come.
Yeah. Or stop you from coming.
Or stop you from coming.
Right.
And there is an exercise called, is it PCs or?
PCs.
And you strengthen it up, and it gives you a stronger erection and a stronger orgasm.
It strengthens the prostate gland.
Strengthens the prostate.
Right, exactly. All right, so these are the sciences that we need to know. All right, so. Let me see if there's, let's see what else we have here. If we got any questions. No, we don't have any questions at this time. Let's see if we got anything in the chat room. Yep, Hilton O'Team is Secret of Regeneration. Yes. Says, what was the other book mentioned? The other book was called The Virgin
Birth. Virgin Birth.
The Virgin Birth.
Right. Yeah.
By Dr. Shelton and Hilton Otima, was that debate between them. I think you said not Shelton, right?
Yeah, his name is Shelton. Yeah. Can't think of his whole name, but Shelton, he was, a lot of them used, Phil Valentine uses a lot of his material. Yeah. Because, matter of fact, he recommended it all to his students to buy his books. And Hilton Otima debated him. He won that debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was the last of the questions. All right, let me see. Somebody was asking the questions that what about the facts about polygyny or polygamy? What you got to say any on that?
I'm not opposed to the ideal of polygyny, but also understand polygyny, and polyandry. Because in a matriarchal society, a woman has sexual freedom. She does have sexual freedom. So it's okay. Understand this now. What's good for the goose is also good for the gander. Don't be, if you have two or three wives, hey, why she can't have two or three husbands? So understand, if you want to get into that system, that it's also good for her if she wants to have two or three husbands, because in a matriarchal civilization, the woman has absolute sexual freedom. There was never no putting restrictions on her sexuality. So, but in the interim of that, it was told to me that it was a system that was created by the woman in the first place, because man has a lot of psychological problems because of the fact that he is always more women than there are men. In order to balance out the civilization, a lot of times the woman had put him in the center of the civilization to alleviate his psychological psychosis of alienation. Because that's why we go to wars and all this, because this alienation, we have to assert ourselves because of the testosterone unchecked. These chemicals causes us to go and kill and fight and hurt one another. But that is the opposite of our spirituality, which makes us want to love and have understanding for all things on the planet, which is based in the feminine principles. So the masculine, this is why these initiation systems were created, so that the divine masculine could initiate into the realms of the dark feminine and subdue that masculine energy, and he became one with the mother. You see what I'm saying? But not to get around your questions of polygamy.
I thought that explained it perfectly, personally. You know, that's just the fact of the matter. You know, someone asked another question, but what about homosexuality?
Homosexuality is very misunderstood, and please don't take me wrong, because I can see it now. They'll be making a video, and they're going to be dubbing this tape when I say what I'm about to say. They're going to dub this and probably make crazy videos on me. But homosexuality is something that is very misunderstood. In the highest realm of homosexuality, it is called brotherly love. I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm not talking about men having sex with one another. The spirit of it is loving your brother. It has a perverted essence when men began to seek out other men to have sex with. That is the perversion of what homosexuality is. The higher essence of it is called brotherly love. There's nothing wrong with loving a man. That's your brother. That's what we're all about. It's about loving your brother. Because if we don't love our brothers, then you know what we are subject to do? We're going to hurt him. We're going to kill him. And this is what men do. So don't get me wrong. I don't claim to have all the answers about homosexuality because I don't understand it in its totality. But this is what I do have to say about it. In the beginning of the day, I'm a humanitarian. In the end of the day, I'm a humanitarian. All people, no matter what their color, creed, or sexual identity, they have a natural inclination to survive and thrive. And no matter whether the man is black, white, or candy stripe, spotted or dotted, they have a right to live on this planet Earth because they are all creations of the Great Mother. And even if a person is homosexuality, they do have a right to live. It's not right for me to say, you goddamn homo, I'm going to kill you. That would be like me taking my retarded son and saying, because you're retarded, I'm going to kill you because I don't understand you. I don't understand homosexuality, and I'm not promoting it, but at the same time, as a spiritual warrior, I am a spiritual warrior. I have to have tolerance for all sentient beings on the planet Earth.
Whew. Boy, I'm telling you, I think that answered the question also. There's not too much that can be said from that. I mean, when we look at it, you're talking about energy. Now, even within the Greek terminology, there's three different words for love. You have philia, which that's what the brother is talking about, the Brother Natchitahudi is talking about brotherly love, that's filio. Then you have agape, that's the homosexual love in which that we're talking about, in which that became perverted from the filios, all right? And then you have the epic love, in which that is talking about for humanity or for mankind. So we're talking about love, period, but you're talking about it in its true essence of spirituality, which is the kundalini. Kundalini is love. Anytime that you shower yourself with love, you know what I'm saying, whether it's from a person, you know, whether it's from male or female, I'm saying that is kundalini. You know what I'm saying? Now, the problem is that we're talking about homosexuality in this sense. According to my grandmaster, Sun Yat-sen Saraswati, the energies within the body of a homosexual flows, like, for example, within the male, it flows up from the perineum, up the front of the body and down the spine. That is not the way that the energy is supposed to flow.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, the energy is supposed to flow from the perineum up the spine to the top of the head, down the front of the body. That's called the conceptional and the governing vessel. And that's the way that is supposed to flow within the males. Within the women, the energy flows up the front of the body and down the spine. So a homosexual male has the exact same energy flow as the woman. However, it can be corrected through what is called Kundalini activation, in which that actually you can actually mark up the spine 13 times and actually cause the Kundalini to raise up the spine in its opposite direction, in a proper direction, and come down the front, and that will make him lose the tendencies of homosexuality. Now, is that something in which that a homosexual want? There are some homosexuals who do want to be simply masculine in this incarnation. But because of experiences in which that took place as children, such as we stated, child molestation, whatever the case may be, they become curious or they think that this is what they're supposed to be doing. All right? So we're looking at things out of curiosity. We're looking at things out of circumstances and events. All right? Would that naturally be like that? 9 times out of 10, no. But for those who are, there are ways in order to help correct that situation. And as Master Tawuti said, you know, we have to be tolerant of all sentient beings, period. You know, and that's a form of love. You know what I'm saying? When we are tolerant, you know, and we have some type of understanding or try to have some type of understanding of what is actually going on within the individual. Okay? So, that is one of the things that says, let me see. All right, someone was asking about hermaphrodite. Okay. Oh, okay, okay. Missy was saying, I wasn't asking a question about the homosexual thing. She said she was saying, is that the hermaphrodite common? I was saying, yes, it is very common in insects and animals, as well as homosexuality in insects and animals.
Oh.
So that's what she was saying.
Oh, well, you know what? The spirit led us to say that.
I think it was
something that needs to be said because we have this, this feelings of alienation again, and we have these really warped concepts about what's going on the planet, and we're very intolerant of other human beings. And again, that is the sickness of what racism is. Racism, first of all, let's understand there's no such thing as race. Race is a term that is a misnomer, because what is a race? A race is a competition. Are we in competition with one another? Well, we have been put in competition with one another. And this is something that has been created from the male paradigm. This has been created from this overabundance of testosterone. We are lashing out with one another. We're being intolerant of one another. We hurt one another. We say nasty things to each other. I can take a knife and pierce your skin and kill you. We're so vulnerable on this planet. So, yes. We need to talk about homosexuality. It happens. We have children who are homo. And I don't care how Afrocentric you are. I don't care how Moorish you are. I don't care how Nation of Islam you are. That ain't going to stop your child from being a homosexual or a lesbian. I mean, we're up against a monster machine. This machine does not care who you are. It does not care about your color. It does not care about your nationality. It doesn't care about your religion or your spirituality. It cares nothing about that. It is totally selfish. It is totally for itself. It don't care about its own offspring. It will chew you and eat you. This machine has been created, and it thrives off of blood. It thrives off of human lives. It thrives off of the spirits of people and to keep them in prison. We are the gods and goddesses of this planet, so we have to begin to evolve in our thinking. And we need to be tolerant of the things that we don't understand so that we can get some understanding, begin to overstand so that we can understand.
No doubt about it. And we had another question here in which that was asked, having too many orgasms killing us? Is having too many orgasms killing us?
I think it's the releasing of the semen. It's not the orgasm in itself, because the orgasm in itself, every time you're having an orgasm, let me tell you what you're doing. You're touching faces with the divine. You know what you ever heard of samadhi? Samadhi is a state of a constant orgasm. It's an orgasm in your body, it's in your thinking, it's in your way, it's in your action. You're in a state of bliss. Imagine that. You know when the Muslims say when you die you go to heaven, you're going to have all of these virgins? Well, that's just a degenerated way of saying samadhi. You see what I'm saying? It's a degenerated way of samadhi. You understand what I'm saying to you? So it's not the orgasm in itself. It's the releasing of the semen all of the time. It's the releasing of the kundalini energy Because when as the kundalini is beginning to raise up the body, as it raises up the spinal column and floods the chakras, as it gets to the top, there's an earning to release it. There's a real strong earning to release it. If you learn not to release it, what happens is you become stronger. Then all of a sudden, you start to heal. Your body becomes healing. Then all of a sudden, you start having sight beyond sight. When the twin powers activate, man, this shit is real. If you raise that kundalini up the spinal column 7 times, that is called a baptism. That is what the real baptism is. In the Bible, they say, when thy eye becomes one, the whole body shall be filled with light. This is what they're talking about. They're talking about the kundalini. They're talking about the great mother. You understand what I'm saying to you? So it is not actually the orgasm, because in the tantra yoga, that's what ecstatic, the only thing that can really raise that kundalini up is called ecstatic ecstasy. That ecstatic ecstasy is done through the breaking what's called Brahman's knot, and that is through sex. Don't let no one fool you. It is through sex. It is through the womb of the woman. The womb of the woman will fan the fires. They say Mother Devi will fan the fires up the spinal column. So, but it is not the degenerated form of sex where we're releasing the energy. We are actually harnessing the energy so that it can raise up, so we can use it for magic, and we can use it to free ourselves from the bodily impediments.
Powerful, powerful. I see my man Coach Paye is in the house. In the room, and he's breaking it down for y'all also. And like he said, men and women are not equal in that regard. Men have yang energy and women have yin energy. And yang energy is more finite, and the woman's energy, which is yin, is more infinite. So in that regard, you know, the man definitely have to be careful about his ejaculation. He had to learn the science as natural. He was talking about ejaculation, as well as also learning how to raise that energy up the spinal column through the ejaculation in order for that sperm to be baptized in the third ventricle or from John the Baptist or Anpu, as we would say, or Anubis. So these are things in which that we definitely have to master. All right, so let's see if we got any questions here. That was in the chat room. They were giving some good questions. Brother Coach Kaye was talking about masturbation causing 301 diseases in us, right? That we don't even know of. Now that's deep. That's deep. You know, now that's if you just ejaculating with no rotation or macrocosmic rotation and the raising up of that kundalini, of course. This is just a person who's just ejaculating just for the hell of it. You know what I'm saying? So definitely. And, of course, as we said before, one tablespoon of semen has enough protein of 2 New York house quarter steaks, 6 oranges, 8 eggs, 2 cups of milk, and 2 lemons. You know what I'm saying? So that's plenty of life force within that one semen, a tablespoon of semen. So if you're doing this on a daily basis several times a day, then, of course, you're losing your life force. Now, according to Stephen Chang, he states in his book, Tao Sexology, that it would be times 2, your age. So if a person is 20 times 2, it would be 4 days he can ejaculate without losing his life force. If it's 5, you know, if they, I should say, if they 30, then that would be 6 days. If they 40, it'd be 8 days. If they 50, it'd be 10 days. You know, so they will have to pattern themselves in that way in order not to lose their life force. And, of course, you know, learn the science of Tantra Kriya Yoga. You know, learn the science, as Brother Nat Chattahuti was just talking about, learn the science of Qigong and Tai Chi in order to help bring energy into your reservoir, you know, into your lower dantian or what is called your sperm or your ovarian palace in order to store that energy there in order to make yourself more alive. You know, these are the sciences that we have to all learn, all right? Let's go to these lines here and see who's on. All right, we got a question from 321, area code 321. You're on the line.
Hey.
Area code 321. Hello? Hello?
Yes, Pete.
Yes, how you doing?
All right, we're here.
Peace.
Yeah, I want to know, because at first, the way that I believe that it was done is, we know that we didn't always look the way we look, right? So what I was thinking was that we split, right? So can you explain that further as to how it didn't happen that way?
Well, real quick, yeah, both sexes were part of one. It that's true. And brothers, a lot of people say, well, that's neither man nor woman. Well, that's not really correct. The woman has, if you look at a woman now, she has a clitoris, right? So she really has a penis, breast, and a vagina. So it was always, like I said, the word man doesn't mean male. So the original man was the hermaphrodite. There was a degeneration, and when they both split, the first one that appeared was the woman. She was the first one that appeared. And how do we know that? Actually, modern science, they did a research, and they took I think it was 1,500 or so many people, and they tested the DNA. They tested her mitochondrial DNA, and they were able to trace back all females, matter of fact, all humans back to a single female. It's about 200,000 years ago. Now, when they traced it to man, they called her mitochondrial Eve. Right? Doesn't mean that that was the first human being. It was the most recent human being, because what happens is there's a degeneration. So that doesn't mean it was the first human being, because it goes way further back than 200,000 years. But the most recent common ancestor was 200,000 years ago, and that goes back to a single female. Now, when they trace back the male's, what do they call the patrilineal? Adam, they traced his DNA back, and it only went back to about 60,000 years. So we know that this is a fact. Not only that, when you look at the X chromosome, all you got to do is look under a microscope. Look under a microscope, and next time I want you to take a look at the painting or the statue of the goddess Aset and look at the god Heru. You'll never see a star in that picture. You'll never see a big grown man. You always see a big grown woman and a little baby. Next time, I want you to go look at the DNA, look at the X chromosome, and look at the Y chromosome. That's mother and son. That's Asar and Aset. I mean, excuse me, that's Aset and Heru. When you look at the X chromosome, it's fluffier. It has what's called euchromatin. That's this fluffy little hairs that's all over it. It has regions. The regions are longer and more multiple. It's about six regions on each leg. Go look at the Y chromosome. The Y chromosome is crumbled up. It don't even have that many regions to it. And so when you think about that in terms of mathematics, the male doesn't bring that much to the table. You see what I'm saying? So it shows us, being that the woman has these two X chromosomes, that one of us was around a lot longer than the other. That's what it shows. Because the Y chromosome, it's showing a degeneration. As a matter of fact, the woman has about 1,498 genes to the man, 70 genes. This is science. Don't be emotional and don't be upset. You're still a man. You're still the king. Don't worry about that. Just understand who we are and what the pecking order is, so to speak. I hope that answered your question.
Oh, yeah, it definitely answered something there.
Indeed. And I heard a brother. I heard a brother, right? He was saying that it is only the European male that has X and Y, because he says that Y chromosome is deficient. So what do you think about that?
I heard, and I don't want to mention that brother's name. That's not true. That's not true. They have X and, first of all, let's understand. When we say that the white man is the devil, I understand that is a generic term as well. because the word devil really was a term to vilify the great mother. The word devil really means goddess. Just take the D off of it. I mean, excuse me, take the L off of it, and you got the word Devi, which means goddess, the diva. You understand what I'm saying? Diva, it also means women. You see what I'm saying? So don't worry. The word devil is a generic term. What are Europeans? They're light-skinned Africans who have degenerated to the fifth degree. That's all they are. They are degenerate. And because of degeneration, we experience the disease of mind, alienation. Even Africans felt strange when they were giving birth to these albino children. So they didn't know what to do with them. They kicked them out the village. What happened? These children began to experience parental rejection. It began with us. It's got to end with us. It wasn't beginning with the European. He was born in a situation that he didn't have any understanding. He was rejected. It's just like a retarded person. Don't understand who he is. He's retarded, Down syndrome, and everybody in the civilization rejects him. What is he going to experience? He's going to experience degenerate behavior. And that is what Europeans experience. They experience a degenerate behavior because they were rejected from their own parents. So all of these different misconceptions is crazy. Men and women, yes, we all have X and Y chromosomes. The only problem with theirs is that it's mutated. Because a lot of people say, well, if the woman is God, is the white woman greater than the black man? That's another foolish statement. Because their DNA has been degenerated to the 20th degree, but they are still human beings because they come from the original human beings.
All right. All right, we got another call here. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got call 267. Call it 267, area code. You're on the line.
Peace and blessings to both of you. I'm just calling to say the great show that you have on. I'm calling from Philly. I understand that the brother Natural Coyote is coming to Black and Nobel in Philly, and
yes,
that's a great thing. I will be there. And as of the day, we're speaking about Charlie Green, brother Eileen Day.
Bring about 15 other people.
Oh, definitely.
Say that
definitely.
Again.
I was saying that as of today, he was also speaking about trying to bring you there to do a lecture in Philly.
All right, appreciate that. I'm definitely come shoot. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no question. Let me speak about Black and Nobel. Black and Nobel is a very important institution. I got to give it up to them brothers. I went down there. They are in the middle of the muck and the mickle. They are right in the mud. It's gutter down in North Philly, homie. Don't get it twisted. They're murdering each other. They got drugs over there. It's saturated with drugs. Them brothers over there could be selling drugs. They could be pimping women. They could be killing each other. But they bought a bookstore in the middle of the mud and the mickle of things. Black and Nobel is a very important institution. I want to commend them. I want to big them up. And I want to encourage people to go and support them. We have to support our institutions of learning. Let's get out of this thing about these goddamn Europeans, because remember, they are in a diseased state. These people are crazy and out of their damn mind. They need to be reeducated. They have been lied to. That's how white supremacy works. So I wanted to say that. Oh, my man.
Yeah, that's basically my second home there. You know, Black and Nobel, I've been going there for years. Met the brother Am Pooh there when he was working there. So, yeah, it's a great institution. Like you said, it's right in the middle of the mud. You know, but I got one question,
yes,
though, in relationship to the Rh negative blood type, when so far that certain females who have a child, if they don't take medication and they have a child that's Rh positive blood type, it kills off that child. Do you have any information on that?
Well, according to the occult teachings, Rh negative is supposed to be the blood type of the reptilian, and Rh positive is supposed to be the blood type or the trait of the hairy Sasquatch being. I mean, it depends on who you ask. You will get that type of metaphysical answer from. I've done heard it all. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the blood types have to focus on if you have the original blood, which is O blood type, which dates back to over 200,000 years ago.
which dates back to, as Natasha Tahuti stated, was to the first modern-day woman. You know what I'm saying? So that O blood type is essential. That means original blood. If you have A blood type, then that's Agarian blood, which dates back to 20,000 years ago. If you have B blood, that means balanced blood, and that dates back to 13,000 years ago. If you have AB blood, which is a mixture of Agarian and balanced blood, which is the newest blood on the scene, dates back to only 2,000 years ago. So the Rh factors, negative or positive, is based on those four basic blood types. Now, there's a book called How to Eat Right for Your Four Basic Blood Types, and it's written by Peter Diamanto. Get that book, and that will help the woman know how to eat properly in order to make sure that the children can come out safely and actually to bring the gods and the goddesses here. All right? So that's actually what needs to be the focus.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's very wonderful. Like I said, I appreciate both of y'all. I've been following you, Dr. Eileen, for some years now. So basically, I never met you, but you were just like a teacher for me. And Natural Tahuti, you'd definitely be bringing it also. So I'm looking forward to seeing you when you come to Philly at Black and Nobel. And hopefully we can get Brother Eileen Bay to get there too also.
All right.
Yeah, we won't get him down.
Yeah, we'll try to get down there.
Okay.
All right, well, we appreciate y'all.
And make sure you remind me who you are.
This is Brother Gary. This is Brother Gary. I called Eileen's Bay's queen a couple of times to speak with her about, you know, some things. And I guess you were busy at the time. But, you know, I also try to, you know, stay tuned into the information, try to learn as much as I can and from who I can, you know, as long as it's valid. But, yeah, when you come to Philly Naturality, I'm definitely make sure I make myself known.
Definitely. Peace, G.
Peace, brothers.
Peace. All right, we got another call. Here's area code 340. Area code 340, you on the line. Come on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, please, Queen.
Oh, okay, I thought my phone was on mute. Hi, I was calling. My phone had cut out a little bit when you were talking about the blood types. I caught, like, all up until, like, the AB and the A and B,
right.
I didn't catch if you did the old
right. O blood type dates back to over 200,000 to nearly 300,000 years ago. It's the oldest blood type. It means original blood type. So you have O negative and O positive. Then of course from that produce A negative and A positive, which is called Agarian blood. Which basically, Agarian blood means basically it was it became developed from the climate at high altitudes. All right. Then you have balanced blood, which means B blood, balance. And of course you have negative and positive effect. And then the last blood type is AB blood type, which only dates back to 2,000 years ago. So AB blood type dates back to 2,000 years ago. B blood type dates back to 13,000 years ago, which is right before the last ice age. And A blood type dates back to 20,000 years ago. And O blood type dates back to over 200 to 300,000 years ago. All right, so those are the time spans for the origin of the blood type.
Okay, because thank you for telling me that because my phone had cut out and I was like, oh, I missed it. But
okay.
I appreciate that.
So appreciate you for listening.
Peace, Queen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're getting ready to get up off of here. We appreciate y'all for hanging in with us. One more time, I know all of y'all hitting up in the chat room saying this was a great show, excellent show, and it definitely was Natural Tahuti bought it. And I want to see somebody try to defeat it because I haven't been able to see nobody handle this yet. But this is the truth of the matter. We've been teaching this for years. Dr. W. Blair taught us this 20 years ago. We started running with it. Brother Natasha Tahuti is a prodigy of that information. And he's hitting it, like he said. He's humble with it and he's putting it out. And it's just the truth of the matter. You know, so go and do your study and research. We gave you many of books. Going stuck. All right, we out.
Peace.
Yeah, that was powerful.
We outside in the field. Second wind from Kira. We outside in the field, sucking wind from skin. Oh, God, it's dark in the room.